The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, this is a subject that really, quite frankly, we should talk about it more because it's going on a lot out there. And unfortunately, many of you, especially you ladies, have experienced this yourselves. And the issue of domestic abuse is prevalent. It's both inside the church and outside the church. It has exploded last year, as were a lot of other negatives in society as a result of COVID and people being home more. So you had abuse of children, but abuse of women as well, because people were not having a chance to escape. Everybody was stuck in their house. And so that was a part of what was one of those dominoes, as I've been talking about for the last year and a half with respect to COVID. But this is a very serious subject. And one of the biggest challenges is that we in the church don't really know how to deal with it. Sometimes we can be a little on the shallow side. Love Jesus, pray, study the Bible some more, and be forgiving, and everything will be fine. And while those things are all incredibly important in and of themselves, when it comes to domestic abuse, that in most cases is not enough. You actually need counsel and teaching. And a lot of pastors and churches, quite frankly, are not equipped to deal with it because that's not something that generally, I don't remember ever hearing about a domestic abuse class at the seminary. And I don't care what seminary you're talking about. It's Christian counseling, okay, maybe they get into it a little bit. But your regular pastor or the staff at a church generally is woefully unprepared to deal with it when it comes knocking. And it's in existence in pretty much every church out there. So whether you know of this personally, unfortunately, or you know of somebody that's been involved with it, or you just go to a church and you're a follower of Christ, this is in our house, and as such, we need to deal with it, the issue of domestic abuse. Nobody's better at it on the show. It's been just a great partner for the show. Joy Forrest is the founder of Called to Peace, calledtopeace.org. That's T-O, calledtopeace.org. Back in the house, as well as Pastor Jim Upchurch is here, and he's got a pastoral perspective on this, which is super important, and he serves as a church partnership liaison. Joy and Jim, welcome back. How are you?
We're doing well. How are you?
That almost sounds like you have your own morning show, Joy and Jim. Welcome back. Joy and Jim in the morning.
Sounds like an idea.
Sounds like an idea. Maybe a podcast. But anyway,
podcast.
There you go. It's great to see you again, and thank you for coming in. And again, Joy, full disclosure, I'm usually traveling at 1,000 miles an hour, and the subject of domestic abuse gets off my radar screen. God uses Joy to put it back on my radar screen, and I appreciate that. So thank you for your willingness to always call and ask, because that's important. So let's just talk about real quick, Joy, because for people that don't know you, and then Pastor Jim, for people that don't know you and your story, how you ended up in this ministry as well. But Joy, let's just start with yours, and then we'll talk about Called to Peace, and then we've got some really important training opportunity coming up this Thursday here in Raleigh.
Oh, so just start telling my story.
Yeah, just go.
Okay.
You go, girl.
So in 1995, I fled from my home. It had gone from just being emotionally painful to physically abusive and even deadly. I took my two girls and left, but I didn't believe in divorce. And so I kept reaching out for help. Over the course of our marriage, we had reached out to a dozen counselors and pastors for help, and nobody knew how to deal with it. And as I was leaving the situation, it became more and more deadly, but nobody knew how to help us, not the courts. It seemed like everywhere I turned, I was hitting a brick wall. And I said one day when it got particularly awful, Lord, if you just help me live through this, I will help other women in this situation. And he's kind of held me to it.
Yeah.
So about 1997, I started helping women in my church who had been through it. And in 2000, the Lord miraculously gave me a job at a domestic violence shelter that I wasn't looking for as their community educator. And I saw Christian women coming into that shelter and going, why does my pastor care more about my marriage than my life? And why does my pastor keep sending me back? Doesn't he see what this is doing to my kids? And I thought, that's not right. And then in 2004, God like so clearly called me to seminary. And again, which led me to a position as a counselor in my church. And again, seeing the way that even our church was handling it, and I didn't know how to handle it because it's a very counterintuitive issue. It's not what it appears on the outside at all. And so seeing that and seeing the way church counsel was not effective at all really frustrated me. And I think this It was like a fire inside of me that started burning until in 2015, I, out of frustration, put a post on Facebook, said, anybody interested in starting a domestic violence ministry?
Yeah, man.
And 12 people showed up at my office that
that's all it took.
Answering. And so the rest is history.
Yeah, and you didn't – did you know at that time that how deep and wide this problem is?
I knew the statistics because of my job at the shelter, but honestly, I had no clue how entrenched it is in the church.
Yeah.
And how, even within the ministry, we had so many women come through our this ministry who have been married to pastors and church leaders, and that was shocking to me.
Yeah.
I didn't expect that.
Yeah, and so Pastor Jim Upchurch is here as church partnership liaison with Called to Peace. That's calledtopeace.org, by the way, and this Thursday we'll talk about the training coming up on this Thursday. But you have the pastoral perspective in your own experience of how God has brought you into this ministry.
Absolutely. And Joy likes to encourage me sometimes by getting it right. But the truth of the story is 15 years ago, I encountered a woman, probably the first instance I'd encountered domestic violence. And she had divorced her husband because of severe physical abuse. And
wow.
She had come to me after the fact looking for some comfort, some reassurances. And at that point in time, although I tried to be gentle and kind, I think I further brought condemnation to her rather than compassion and help. And so I even screwed it up at one point in time. About 6 years ago at my current church, we faced an issue where a couple came to us for marriage counseling. And we didn't know what to do. Domestic violence wasn't in our minds as a category. We didn't know anything about it. We weren't equipped. We weren't educated. And we would have screwed it up again had it not been for a counseling couple that had worked with this couple before. And,
yeah.
I didn't hear anything about domestic violence at seminary. But this was a man from the seminary at Southeastern.
Wow.
And without their help in recognizing some of the dynamics that were going on, we really would have messed up. Once we realized that it had to do with domestic abuse, we got as much help as we could. We began reading articles and books. We began watching videos. And almost immediately, we separated them for counseling purposes, meeting with the woman on just her and meeting with the man separately. So that's how we approached it from the beginning. And once the woman saw that we were believing her and wanting to support her and care for her, things just started steamrolling, and we learned more and more about the situation.
Yeah, and then when we come back, we're up against a break. When we come back, how you got involved with Called to Peace, and then let's broaden it out a little bit, Joy, and talk about just how bad is domestic abuse in America in general, as well as in the church specifically. And then we'll start talking about this training coming up, which is this Thursday, by the way, here in Raleigh, 9 to 12:30. Also streaming online, or you can attend. If you're a leader, if you're a pastor on staff at a church, we want you there. Calledtopeace.org. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, here with Joy Forrest today and Jim Upchurch from Called to Peace Ministries. That's called to, T-O-Peace, .org is the website, calledtopeace.org. So if you're on staff at a church, work at a church, want to be involved with the leadership and engaging this issue, please go to the website, calledtopeace.org. And this Thursday they have Protect the Flock, which is a training program that they have designed and are doing from 9 to 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time this Thursday here in Raleigh. It's at Hope Church in Raleigh. We'll get some more details later, but it's also streamed live. So wherever you're listening from on the radio or on Facebook Live or YouTube Live or catching the podcast later, you can be a part of this. You can attend it virtually as well as it live streams this Thursday, 9 to 12:30 this Thursday. Okay, just a couple days away. This is a huge problem in the church, and it's something that we don't handle very well. Let's go back 10 years, Joy, before you and I knew each other, and Joy is here and Jim Upchurch is here. I had fun and made a sport out of throwing pastors and churches under the bus. I was very angry because I was engaging, starting back in 2004, engaging churches and pastors, trying to get them involved in various things. I had little compassion for them, not really understanding just how difficult your job is and how much is coming at you. So when I would show up and try to get them involved in something that was worthy, that's what I had deemed worthy. It was high on my list, but not high on theirs. And so I used to take pot shots at pastors and churches all the time. I don't anymore. I'm much more compassionate about that. I understand how much churches have on them. But in light of that, I also understand now, Joy, mostly because you've educated me, how prevalent this is. So I want people to understand that we're going to talk about this problem in church, And if you're listening and you're wondering, maybe you think that you're being abused, especially ladies, because what is it? 96, 97% of all domestic abuse is women are being abused.
It's above 90%.
It's above 90%. So it does happen to men. We're not leaving you out, but the vast majority, the overwhelming majority is happening to women. So if you're not sure, and that's where a lot of people I want to talk about, there's the shame element here. But this, I'm just looking at the power and control wheel, which Joy introduced me to years ago. Using intimidation, making her afraid by using looks, actions, or gestures, smashing things, destroying her property, using emotional abuse, putting her down, making her feel bad about herself, calling her names, making her think she's crazy, which is essentially gaslighting, using isolation, controlling what she does, who she sees and talks to, minimizing and denying and blaming, making light of the abuse and not taking her concerns about it seriously, saying the abuse didn't happen, or maybe your husband, for some of you guys, your wife, uses the children. They make you feel guilty about the children. They use male privilege. They use economic abuse, coercion and threats. And, of course, it can be violent, but not always. There's a whole lot of emotional and mental abuse that can take place. But how bad of a problem is this, Joy?
So statistically, the AMA did a study back in the 1980s, which I took a part of, and I actually lied because I didn't want them to come get me and intervene.
Wow.
And they said that 1 in 3 American women will experience physical abuse in their lifetime at the hands of an intimate partner. And then there have been other studies that show at least 1 in 4 women in the church will experience physical abuse in their marriages or intimate relationships. So we know it's a problem. That's that's a third, 25% to a third of your congregation.
Yeah.
This experience has experienced physical abuse. Maybe not currently, but they have. And what happens is because it's so insidious and it changes the way we think because it's so over time you get more and more used to it. It's kind of like the frog in boiling water analogy. So as you get used to it, then you're willing to put up with more and more over time. And so you start thinking differently. And so most of the women that we see who come to us in the first place don't say they're abused. They will say, I'm really confused. Is this abusive? They're really trying to figure it out. The people who say that they're abused are usually the abusers. Honestly, they'll claim to be the victim where, again, most, even in the case that Jim had in his church that he was talking about, she came in, just was very confused about her marriage. And so we know, I think that it's really underreported. So I would say at least a third of your congregation has experienced domestic abuse, if not more.
And how much of a role does shame play in all of this? I was talking during the break on our Facebook Live and YouTube Live friends. They continue to, we're still talking here in the studio. I do hit the pause button. So for all of you on radio, it's not like you're not missing the meat of the conversation. We actually have kind of a sidebar conversation. But I was curious about that because with abortion, obviously, there's a lot of shame there. Because of the nature of what you've chosen to have done to your child. So that's not something that we're real proud of, that you'd want to bring that up publicly. But in abuse, isn't shame a big deal as well?
Oh, absolutely. We're taught to keep it quiet. We're taught to hide it. But also, we're embarrassed, because we're supposed to look like the perfect family. I mean, I was in a pretty – we were well-educated, wealthy – as wealthy goes, and we look good on the outside. And so I was so embarrassed for anybody to know what was really happening behind closed doors. And I didn't let on. I just wouldn't. I lied to my own family because it would make him look bad. And I'm trying. And that's a Christian thing, too. I don't want to do anything to make him look bad. And
we're Christians and we shouldn't have this problem.
Yeah.
Do you think it's that, like, I was reading some things from the power and control wheel. If you just Google that, by the way, power and control wheel, it's easy to find. But do you think that for a lot of domestic abuse victims, Joy, that they don't know where the line is in the sand? Maybe my husband just he's a hothead.
Right.
And so they don't really know because you start throwing away around the A word. You start talking about abuse. That's obviously an escalation in terms of the context of a conversation.
Right.
So is that kind of part of the problem?
Absolutely. I think I started one of the chapters of my book saying that I lied under oath, but I didn't think I was lying. I told a judge this has not been an abusive marriage. And I had been living with it for years, and he had had a knife at my throat at one point. And many physically abusive things had happened very sporadically over the years. Most of the time there was no physical abuse, but I believe that he couldn't control himself and that he was kind of having a little nervous breakdown.
Yeah.
So I made excuses for him, and that's what we do, and that's why we come to put up with more and more over time. Like, oh, he couldn't help that, and I should have done something a little differently so that didn't happen that way, and we just try to control it.
Pastor Jim Upchurch is also with us here in the studio today. He's a church partnership liaison with Called to Peace. And that, how does this, when we're talking about this, and you've been around it for several years, so I do want to ask you, Jim, about how you got involved with Called to Peace. But how do you kind of take all that type of information that Joy was just sharing in as a pastor with a flock? How do you kind of process that as a Christian theologically? What's going on there?
Yeah, I think I needed the education to be exposed to this sort of information, to be able to even recognize that this is a possibility, even in my small church, even in our small church, that this might be going on. So having an awareness that you're not immune to it just because you have great members of your church, just because you see outwardly all the evidences of grace and profession of faith, doesn't mean that it's not going on.
Sure.
So the statistics are very revealing, and we shouldn't ignore those just because we think it's outside of the
church.
And
back before you pardon me for using the phrase, back before you got woke to this issue, would you say that, and because this was my deal, thinking abuse, I'm looking for a bruised eye. I'm looking for a black eye. I'm looking for signs of physical damage. But I didn't understand how wide it is, what you could consider abuse. I was just ignorant.
Right. And that's why we often try to use the terms coercive control. Abuse, sometimes people will think immediately physical abuse.
Yeah.
Coercive control gives it a broader understanding of what's going on. Just recognizing the damage and the oppression that takes place in situations where there's no physical violence.
Yeah, so we're going to talk when we come back from the break. We're up against the break. Well, I'm finally going to get you to answer the question that I'm doing a bad job of asking, which is how you got involved with Call to Peace. We'll do that. Where do you go from here if this is resonating with you or maybe a friend of yours, a family member? This sounds eerily familiar. How do you get help? And then the bigger issue today, how does the church help? How do you get equipped? That's why we're talking about what's going on Thursday. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. I love this comment. One of my friends on Facebook Live. I was abusive until Jesus dealt with me. And that's a beautiful thought, okay? And now Jesus can deal with you personally. He can deal with you through the power of the Holy Spirit. But he can also deal with you if you're a man that's struggling. And by the way, if you're a guy and you think I'm a little hot-headed, I'm probably not the best husband every once in a while, you probably need to take a little page from the book of James and go look in the mirror. Okay, one of the things you can do when you look in the mirror is I'm just going to put this link up right now on Facebook Live, okay? Go look at this power and control wheel. Don't wait for your wife to confront you about this. You might need to confront this yourself. So just go look at this. If you think maybe I'm not such a good guy, maybe the Holy Spirit's dealing with you a little bit right now. So I'm putting the link up literally right now on Facebook Live, okay? That takes you to the power and control wheel, and you just honestly ask the Lord to search your heart and to show you. If you're in here, are you doing these things? Are you doing them regularly? And if you think you are, you need help. You need to confess that to the Lord first, and then you need help. You need counseling. You need to get to a pastor, or you need to get to a group like Called to Peace and get some help. I just felt led to kind of
that's
go there.
Right. Joy, yeah, because we actually did start groups for men.
Yeah, so that's awesome.
But we are on hiatus, but we will start back in the fall.
Great. So we're going to talk here in a minute about what Called to Peace actually does, but I'm finally going to ask the question plainly that I've been trying to ask that I keep messing up. This isn't Pastor Jim Upchurch's fault. Church Partnership Liaison. So how did you get involved with Call
All
to
right.
Peace?
So as we continued walking with the woman in our church's situation, the survivor of domestic abuse, one of the staff at Call to Peace asked me to give my testimony at one of the conferences. I was reluctant at first, but I did it and gradually got more involved with Call to Peace. They brought me onto the board for a few years before hiring me part-time. I'm still a full-time pastor, so on a limited basis, hiring me to work with churches as the church partnership liaison. We recognize that the way we deal with this issue will be either a positive and beautiful reflection of the character of God and his righteousness and justice and heart for the oppressed, or it would be a distorted picture of who God is. And so we recognize
Truly.
We need to connect to churches. Right.
And so, and that's one of the challenges is that you get this on your plate, you find out about it. And also, I think it's important at a church, Jim, and you correct me if I'm wrong, please, and normally I am. this is something that the church almost needs to broadcast this.
Yeah.
If you're having abuse issues in your marriage, We want to talk to you, both the male and the female, the husband and the wife. But it's kind of got to be on the table. So everybody goes, we all know it's there. It's like an 800-pound gorilla in the room. Everybody knows it's there. But sometimes we're unwilling to talk about it.
I think they would have to define it first because, again, right. So many people don't recognize that's what's going on right. In their marriage.
And yeah. One of our friends on Facebook Live, by the way, real quick, when I said that about the guys, posted a link by Chris Moles, of course, who's been on before, chrismoles.org. Am I abusive? It's a powerful question. So, guys, gentlemen, and ladies, some of you too, I've known an abusive woman in a story that I probably will never share on the air. It wasn't me personally, but somebody I love deeply. And the abuser was a woman, okay, a young woman. So this is not like it can't happen. But am I abusive? Gentlemen, if you're feeling the tug of the Holy Spirit that maybe you have an issue here, and some of you ladies even, go do that. I just put the link up on Facebook Live. Jim, were you going to say something? Sorry, I cut you off.
I think so. I can't remember what
it was. Senior moment. That's what happens.
Senior moment. Just being in my 60s.
It's gone. Yes.
He's like the youngest one here.
hey, easy, easy. Don't go after the host. Be nice. Okay, so what does Call to Peace do generally? And then we'll talk about this Thursday's event.
So we have a two-pronged ministry. One is to provide hope and healing for survivors of domestic abuse. So we have support groups with a curriculum that we wrote. And then we have... advocacy. So we actually train up advocates, and those are people who can go into churches and help. We train them not to go in and take the lead, but to help. And a victim of abuse very often is so traumatized they can't tell a story in a very short time frame. So they can share with the advocate. The advocate can go in and give the information to the pastor in a nutshell so that they don't have to sit there and try to figure out where she's going. They're talking about somebody with PTSD, so it's really the advocate can help, you know, see through all of the confusion and help on a team that can help support this woman and her family. We provide advocacy. We have an emergency fund for those who come through our support groups to help them get on their feet financially. What else do we do? We have retreats for survivors. Wow. And then on the other hand, we do trainings, and we are now partnering, and I'm really excited about the church partnership program. So we've hired pastors to help other pastors. We have Jim, we have Andre Turrentine, who's the pastor of the Shepherd in the Field. And we are probably going to be hiring a couple more pastors to work alongside of churches to help them navigate these really murky waters. It's so hard to navigate a domestic abuse situation. Yeah. And so what we want to do is come alongside the church, not criticize them for getting it wrong. It's easy to get it wrong. I've gotten it wrong. And what we want to do is to help them understand how to navigate it more clearly. And I love what you just said about really reflecting what Jesus would do. And so many of the women that come through our ministry come through with a really warped view of God, and they think God is against them. So for them and their children think the same.
Yeah.
For a church to reach out and to help is going to be really reflecting God's goodness that they have lost somewhere along the way in their abuse.
Certainly. Of course, it makes perfect sense. We're talking to Joy Forrest, who's the founder of Called to Peace Ministries, calledtopeace.org. That's T-O, calledtopeace.org. And Jim Upchurch as well, church partnership liaison. What are some of the biggest challenges that the church faces and why they need training? Because obviously this is a huge problem.
Yeah, what I was going to say earlier was that before broadcasting, you might want to get some equipping first.
Yes.
Kind of prepare the ground before you get an influx of people responding to that
they're
broadcast.
Out there.
Totally out there.
So you got to be ready to help because there's help needed, but you got to be prepared.
Right. So some of the challenges I think churches face is one would be treating it like a marriage problem. You know, it takes two to tango might be the idea, and so we just need to do marriage counseling. We need to do marriage enrichment. Tell her to respect and love her husband and tell the husband to sacrifice himself. Other challenges might be this is a he said, she said sort of dynamic. We don't know who to believe, you know. And so one big thing would be getting equipping. I think that demonstrates kind of a lack of awareness or understanding of the issues to not be able to discern truth from lies.
Yeah. And you mentioned something earlier, Joy, that I wanted to follow up on, and then let's dive into the nuts and bolts of what's going to happen on Thursday, because I think this is worth repeating. Oftentimes in the church, we're more interested in saving the marriage than saving your life. Is that what you said?
I did. Oh, that's because what I've heard that from so many people. And I was that way in my own mind. I didn't believe in divorce. I didn't want to be divorced. And so I kept going back until it almost cost me my life, until my 12-year-old daughter said, "Mom, why don't you just leave?" And I said, "But God hates divorce." And she looked at me and said, "Mom, he hates divorce, but he's going to hate it a lot more when my mom is dead."
Wow.
She had more wisdom than I did. But we in the church, I think, idolize it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we idolize marriage. It feels like the Sabbath of the 21st
sure.
century.
Yeah.
You know, so...
Yeah.
You know, Jesus was not like that. When he went to minister to people, he always would minister to the. He was looking at the individual over the institution.
Yeah.
So the woman caught in adultery, the law says you've got to stone this woman, and he didn't. And he says, "Neither do I condemn you," and so he showed grace. Mm-hmm. And so you even think about the woman at the well. I feel like he went out of the way. And if you ever saw The Chosen, I love that.
Yeah.
Because he – I always thought this woman must have been abused to have had five husbands and then to be in another relationship in which she wasn't married. So the church really has you know, that and again, it's something that it was indoctrinated into a lot of us. I think, you know, we just got so focused on families and the well-being of the family and the marriage that we forgot the individuals.
Right.
And it is devastating to these women. It is beyond – they're so spiritually devastated that they don't even know the goodness of God when they come to us. And so that has to change.
Yeah, a lot of spiritual work to do there as well. Okay, so this Thursday from 9 to 12:30 – Hope Church in Raleigh, which is in the North Raleigh area off of Capitol Boulevard. Protect the Flock. Tell us about that.
Well, it's a kind of an introductory training for some people who are just being exposed to these ideas, although it would be tremendously helpful to come a second time if you've already been. We will be speaking about definitions of abuse, statistics of abuse. It kind of gives you a broad overview of becoming aware of the issues, being able to identify issues of coercive control and domestic violence. We also get into some initial steps that you can take in caring well for the oppressed, as well as initial steps in walking alongside and holding accountable those who perpetrate this.
Yeah, Joy?
Yeah, and then we'll have do's and don'ts. So, you know, we want to – this will definitely not equip you to handle it well, because it takes years to really understand this or you at least a year of our advocacy program. But it won't fully equip you, but it will help you not to do any harm. So to do no harm is really where we want to get them, and to connect them with resources so that they can handle it better. Because it's just not wise to try to handle it on your own when it's an issue that is
right.
So counterintuitive.
Right. We're talking to Joy Forrest, who's the founder of Called to Peace Ministries, calledtopeace.org, and Jim Upchurch, who's the church partnership liaison. We'll continue to talk about what's going on this Thursday, Protect the Flock, plus some words to especially you ladies out there, if you are or you think you are in a domestic abuse environment. Some words of encouragement and empowerment and how you can get some help. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, The Steve Noble Show, here today with our good friend Joy Forrest, who's the founder of Called to Peace, calledtopeace.org. That's T-O, calledtopeace.org. And Pastor Jim Upchurch is here as well, church partnership liaison, just talking generally about domestic abuse, mostly against women, but it does happen to some men. So let's remember that, keep that door as wide open as it needs to be to help as many people as possible. So if you're struggling with this as somebody that thinks you're being abused, you really need to understand what that is. And I think, let me ask you this, Joy, the Me Too movement, which, all right, everybody, don't get triggered by me saying that, okay? Just be bringing up the Me Too movement. I think that discernment is something that every Christian needs a whole lot of these days, because there's a little bit of truth mixed in with things all over the place. So the Me Too movement, one of the things I appreciated about that is because we've had a history of not believing women.
Yes.
And then we go the opposite direction, because we're like a Southern driver. We've got some snow on the ground, like, you know, half an inch. And you're wiping off on the right side of the road, so you overcorrect and end up on the left side of the road. But we tend to overcompensate. But I think one of the things about the Me Too movement is that we needed to give this a more serious consideration when women make a charge. Now, yes, you have to find out. We have to be truthful. We're people of the book. But there's a part of that that always caught me that, yeah, maybe we do have a problem. That our initial reaction is, maybe he's just a little hot-headed,
right.
Whatever.
Well, I, in my experiences advocating for other women for the last 24 years, most of the time when they went forth and they disclosed the abuse, which took a lot of nerve, they were not believed or it was minimized, especially by pastors and, you know, Christian counselors. Well, what did you do to cause that? So I tell people that it's always good to believe somebody's initial claim unless they've given you really good reason not to believe it. And we don't become investigators because they've done studies and found that only 3-5% of claims about domestic abuse are false. And it's usually when they're trying to gain something from it. So need housing. And I saw that happen when I worked at the shelter, but and we've had it a couple of times maybe when, no, I believe they were abused, but they were using the abuse to gain maybe financial help or something. But for the most part, you can believe people when they take the risk to even tell you because they're endangering themselves by telling.
Yeah, yeah.
So we want to always believe them.
Yeah, start there and then move from there. So in terms of equipping this, what do you think is the most important part of what happens this Thursday at the Protect the Flock training, which is 9 to 12:30 p.m.? It's here in Raleigh, so you can come in person this Thursday at Hope Church in Raleigh. Just go to Called to Peace, the website, calledtopeace.org. 9 to 12:30, but it's also streaming live. But you do need to register for that, okay? So you still have to go to the website even if you're going to watch the stream because you got to sign up for it to have access to it. But what are the things that you really lean into at a training like this, you personally?
First of all, I want to mention that we're giving away free breakfast.
Oh, that's good. That's always helpful.
So the event does not have a cost. We ask if the people want to donate, they can. So there will be breakfast there. But that is not the main thing we're hoping that people take away. We want them to be more equipped to be able to leave and say, well, at least now I have some tools. And they know who they can call, who they can contact. We will actually walk alongside them, again, with our church partnership program, with our advocates. And we will actually train people in their churches through our programs if they want to. There are a lot of local churches, which has been really exciting for me to see. A lot of them are coming up with domestic policies, but also domestic violence teams or domestic abuse teams. And that has been extremely encouraging to me because for many years before the Me Too movement, I will say that I appreciate it for that fact. I was out there. I felt like I was the lone prophet, you know, crying out, there's abuse. And nobody believed me. Mm. But somehow things have switched and people are starting to listen. So that's very encouraging.
You've mentioned advocacy a bunch of times. So when somebody, what does an advocate do and how do they do it?
So an advocate is not a counselor, but it's somebody that walks alongside a victim or survivor of abuse and helps to improve the outcome for them in a way, you know, we help them learn not to react. There's certain things that we can do to help them not have the same kind of frustration that so many advocates have. And again, they are part of a team so that they can represent the survivor on a domestic violence team because a lot of times survivors are so traumatized they can't even put their story together in logical form. So an advocate can help with that. And they can go to court with them. They can help just support them in all the practical things that they need. And it's a lot. And most churches are not equipped to deal with all of that at one time.
Is there somebody that should not be an advocate? Like if you've experienced abuse yourself, or does that actually make you a better advocate? I would imagine it'd be a matter of time and healing and equipping.
Yeah.
But who should and who should not? Is there anybody that shouldn't be?
Well, we have a program that's a year long, and so we have actually it's like college level courses. So God sent somebody, Dr. Deborah Wingfield, House of Peace Publications, who was a professor at Colorado State University, and she came into my office one day and said, I've got 30 courses I've written on domestic abuse and advocacy, and I'd had people asking me to teach a class, and I didn't have time. But what we have discovered is that most of the people who come through the class are survivors, but Jim's been through it. A lot of men have come through it, a lot of pastors. Anybody who wants to know how to help. And the ones I think that who should not be advocates, at least not initially, are those who are survivors who have not healed yet. And so what we do is an assessment. We have advocates all over the country now and even in some other countries. And what we do before we assign people to see them is make sure that they are no longer triggered by the things they're hearing and they don't go on the warpath. So.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Can you talk a little bit about the book? And I know that I'm not trying to put you on a pedestal, right? Obviously. So, but about the book, because now it's available in an audio format.
Oh, yeah.
Which is so cool.
Yes. And so you were nice enough to loan your equipment. That's why I went, oh, yeah. So
it's not why I'm asking.
So we do, yeah.
None of this stuff is mine. The airtime's not mine. The studio's not mine. It's all God's. Okay. We're just trying to be a good steward.
Yeah. So anyway, the book is Called to Peace, A Survivor's Guide to Finding Peace and Healing After Domestic Abuse. And we have a companion workbook now. And that's what we use in our support groups. We do have support groups all over the nation. And we're trying to get them really organized by time zone, at least.
Yeah.
And so it's basically looking at God as the healer. And so many of us who come through trauma, God even healed my trauma, my PTSD, but it was really, I had to make an effort and I had to meditate on his truth and his word. And it was beyond just telling myself the truth. I was really meditating on it. And I accidentally healed from PTSD. Nowadays, I know it was because I was actually reaching the traumatized parts of my brain, which logic can't reach through meditation.
Yeah, that's a powerful point. Jim, speak real quick. I got about 4 minutes left. Speak to pastors and church staff and people that are involved with the church in terms of why they should be involved and why they should contact Called to Peace and why they should be there for the Protect the Flock conference, which is this Thursday.
Yeah, from a theological perspective, again, reflecting the character of God and his truth and righteousness and justice for and his heart for those who are oppressed. We have encountered a growing number of churches and pastors reaching out to us, and so we are expanding even our team for church partnerships, because I can't handle it all just in my limited time. Joy talked about the church partnership program. So coming to this training might be one step closer to your church becoming a church partner. And that would mean we would come alongside of you, give you resources for education and equipping. We continue to put on the quarterly trainings. We come alongside of you for particular cases, high-need cases, where we can consult with you and give you options going forward, prioritizing the safety of the woman or the victim in those cases, how you can begin to walk alongside of the oppressor as well. And then also we have people who can work with you in coming up with how do we develop a response team? How do we develop policies and procedures? And we can take a look at those things and help you as a church to care well for those in your
congregation. Yeah, really front to back, totally comprehensive to cover all the different aspects. And then Joy, and then this is a more difficult end of the show kind of thing, but I guarantee you there's some women listening that are struggling with this and they're being abused themselves. How do you start? What do you say to them? How do they start?
Well, I think that the first place you go is admitting the truth. And that's a really hard thing, because when you admit the truth, I often will take 1 Corinthians 13:4-7, love is patient, it's kind, it's not easily provoked, it doesn't insist on its own way. And all of those things that love is, and that's what, you know, is not, and abuse is. So it's the exact opposite of love. And so when we admit that it's abusive, we have to admit that this man is choosing not to love me well. And so that's a very hurtful thing, but that's step number one in the healing process. If you're not sure, we have a checklist on our website where I think it basically it has a button somewhere that you can for those who need help or you think that it might be abuse and you're asking yourself.
Yeah, that's under the resources button. It says warning signs quiz.
Right. So there's a quiz that you can take there. It doesn't have to be physical to be abused. You don't have to be harmed physically. But if you're living in fear and you've lost your freedom to be an individual and think your own thoughts, then you're probably being in an abusive relationship. So,
and what percentage of abusive relationships involve physical violence?
I think it's actually a small percentage. Sometimes they only have to hit you one time and it may never happen again because you know that that threat is always there.
Yeah. They're capable of it.
So then you keep yourself, you just tiptoe around so that it won't ever get to that point again. But you're being completely controlled. It's like terrorism. Yeah. You're just living in constant fear. I used to filter every thought through how my husband might react.
Wow.
That meant he was my Lord instead of Jesus.
That's right. Such a powerful point. Joy Forrest, the founder of Called to Peace Ministries. Jim Upchurch is here as well. Church Partnership Liaison. CalledToPeace.org is the website. CalledToPeace.org. This Thursday, Protect the Flock, 9 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. If you're here or can get to here to Raleigh locally this Thursday at Hope Church in Raleigh, you can also stream it live online, but you got to register. And then if you're struggling, if you think this is the world that you're in, then you can go to calledtopeace.org, and there's all kinds of resources and help as well. Become an advocate. Get your church involved. There's so many different ways that we have to get engaged, and it's not an option. We have to do it. Joy and Jim, thanks so much for being here today. So great to have you.
Thanks for having us.
You're very welcome. This is Steve Noble and the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.